Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, boys and girls, and welcome to what we're sure will be our greatest year at Rydell.
Remember summer lovin' from Greece? Well, we have some summer lovin' today for you with Frozen Treat Tuesday. Hello and welcome to Fun to Fortune, Entrepreneur Startup Success Series with Coach Jeff on Blog Talk Radio. My name is Jeff Valinsky, and I'm the founder of 2B Enterprises. I am dedicated to helping people escape the 9-to-5, follow their passion, and love their work. I am the founder and co-creator of Broadway Bodies, the fun way to work out to your favorite show tunes. I'm the founder of Javelin Life and Business Coaching. I'm the founder of the Gay Coaches Collective. I'm the founder of a few more ventures. So if you have an hour or more, we can talk about it. I love to create things, and that is what we are here today. Every other week, join us for a conversation with those others who have created fun businesses and uncovered their fortune in the process. And fortune, not necessarily monetary fortune, but you'll soon to discover all the other fortunes that there are that come with running and starting your own business. We are broadcasting live from gorgeous Fire Island out in Long Island, a beautiful strip of islands between the bay and the ocean. Escaping that concrete jungle where dreams are made of, New York City, where we usually are broadcasting from. We hope there's pretty good internet and service out here today, and we keep this connection. And today, for Frozen Treat Tuesday, we have two amazing examples of New York City-born businesses. These two ladies brought in not only their passion for food, but also the love of their culture, foreign flavor, and their values, the stuff they really care about. We'll get into that more. What better topic in the height of summer than delicious frozen treats? These two culinary entrepreneurs are Sophia Britton and Fanny Gerson. They'll join us in about 10 minutes. Sophia, who created Victoria Garden, she's been called the pink berry with a conscience or the tasty light for the enlightened. Very interesting flavors, frozen yogurts made with goat's milk locally from local farms, and much healthier than the concoctions of soft serve that we've seen out there. We'll then be joined by Fanny Gerson of La New Yorkina. La New Yorkina is all about sharing the sweetness of Mexico. This is the frozen treats that Fanny grew up with and a part of her essence. Fanny spent a year traveling through Mexico doing research on her first cookbook, My Sweet Mexico. She then returned to New York and wanted to continue sharing those flavors of Mexico that she grew up with. She's starting with the delicious Mexican ice pops because they represent every little town has a little paleta shop, I hope I got that right, and bringing that to New York. So before we move on, a word from our sponsor. Well, I just made them our sponsor today, and I'm very excited for this is one of my clients who has just created his first ebook. So congratulations to Anthony. So if you have ever wanted to host or have your own radio show, then you should go right to Amazon and download a copy of Anthony's new book. His new book is entitled, Is This Thing On? How to Host Your Own Internet Radio Show. It's a 50-page book for only $3.97. Just released a few days ago. I'm going to be buying my own copies. Hopefully I get some great help with my radio show since I'm pretty new at this as well. So please get that book, Is This Thing On? How to Host Your Own Internet Radio Show. Here's a little blurb on it. Explore how to start your own successful online radio show with radio host Anthony Calcera. He will teach you all those important things you need to know to become a well-known name in the radio industry. As I mentioned, Anthony is one of my current clients, and he is the host of a radio show that he created with two partners called Two Fags and a Hag, and it's hysterical. Check it out on Facebook. Check it out on Blog Talk Radio. So let's recap some of the guests on the last show. We have had some incredible guests and entrepreneurs with incredible insights and incredible sharing of their stories, their fun, their fortune, their challenges, and their obstacles. You can listen to our archives on Life Coach Radio Network and skip my intro and go right to the guest interview, which is that juicy stuff you want to hear anyway. Find this content on Blog Talk Radio, search Life Coach Radio Network, and then look in the archives for the Fun to Fortune Success series. Each title will tell you which entrepreneur and what they do. Two weeks ago, we featured Aaron Stutland of AaronStutland.com, creator of Shrink Session and Magical Manifestors. And we also had guest entrepreneur Francine Rabinovich of Denim Therapy. Aaron teaches, or taught us, really, a really cool concept that she is sort of, which is sort of her motto. When there's movement in your body, there's movement in your life. And Aaron is dedicated to helping women create movement in their life, physically, spiritually, and emotionally, and keep moving forward to what they truly want. She's explained how movement, all kinds of movement, no matter how small, can shift your perspective. She pointed out in our interview that part of her joy and fortune for having her own company is all the different hats she gets to wear. She gets to bounce around and use a variety of her talents and skills. Aaron started as an actor and dancer and performer. And she calls all this in to her business. And as she said, she loves to create. She loves to make things. She's an artist at heart. So whether she's making a video or writing copy for a new program, or teaching a class where her choreography and performance skills come out. Those are some of the joys. She also pointed out the importance of trying things and getting them wrong and being okay with failure and getting right back up and trying again. Check her out at AaronStutland.com. You will surely be moved. I have been moved by her. Another person who moves us, or when we move our legs in our favorite pair of jeans, we may think of her, is Francine Rabinovich. She's the founder of Denim Therapy. She has created a very unique business model around saving your favorite pair of jeans. It's called Denim Therapy. She had this idea, and what she exhibited to us is going for things, going with your gut. She basically didn't do a business plan. She didn't do a lot of research. She checked with people, checked with friends and family. It was a low investment, and she went with her gut and said, if there's something out there that I want, I think other people may want it too, becoming very successful. She felt she was onto something and gave it a try. She did this while she was fully employed. That's something we always talk about. You don't need to quit your job to start a company. She also listened to customers' needs and adjustments and eventually left her full-time job and is working full-time at her company, Denim Therapy. So please check out denimtherapy.com. The week before, we changed gears and we talked to Francis. He's the founder of Greek and Handy. He's a designer, contractor, and builder that followed his dance career. He followed his passion, he followed the people who loved him, and he created a company whose name is based on exactly who he is, Greek and Handy. He's so excited about his debut on the reality show Brother vs. Brother. Check him out on HGTV or at GreekandHandy.com. the previous show before that, we were back in the land of delicious treats with Anthony Cerrone of Lilac Chocolates. Anthony worked in marketing for years, but he had a love of chocolate, and he pursued a company that was not officially on the market. He bought the stubbornly old-fashioned chocolatier with his partner, and he talks about the excitement of his day wearing so many hats, of which I have to presume that this favorite is tasting, and really all the things that come with running your own business. Part of everyone's theme that we've had on is being open-minded and flexible. So I always liken it to, when I speak to clients, it's like setting journey on the ocean in a boat, you know, whether a sailboat. And yes, there is a destination, but really all the joy, the excitement, the challenges come with that journey in the water and what the environment has for you. It makes me think of that movie, The Life of Pi. If you haven't seen that, it's an amazing book and an amazing movie. If you're interested in starting a blog-based business, you may want to check in on our show with Bern Harrison. He is the founder and creator of Stage Buzz. In his part time, he reviews off-Broadway shows and festivals, wants to grow Stage Buzz. And Bern is particularly really good about finding alternative revenue streams and finding advertising dollars on his site. So that's another way to find some incremental revenues. All of those and more can be listened to on our archive, Life Coach Radio Network, the Fun to Fortune Success Series. So here we are today. What are we doing here? I am inspired by people that I meet who are doing wonderful, very cool things. They created fun, they created wealth, they created abundance for themselves and others. They're doing great work out there, being trailblazers, sharing their business, their inspiration, their roadblocks, and their obstacles. Something I say every time I'm on the show is one of the things that I always strive to achieve, and that's a master in the art of living. And the master in the art of living makes little distinction between his work and his play, his labor and his leisure, his mind and his body, his information and his recreation. He hardly knows which is which. He simply pursues his vision of excellence at whatever he does, leaving others to decide whether he is working or playing. To him, he is always doing both. Imagine that the work you do feels like play, and your play feels like work. I think that is something we can all strive for or all want in our lives, especially when 85% of Americans are dissatisfied with their work. So trying to get to a place in your own work, sticking true to your values, finding your passion, is something that I'm dedicated in helping people on that journey and continue always on that journey myself, continuing to create. Okay, let's see what's going on at Blog Talk Radio, Life Coach Radio Network, in the next few days before Sophia, our guest, pops on in a few minutes. We're expecting her in just a couple minutes. So tomorrow at 7:30 on Life Coach Radio Network, we have Get a Job with Kathleen Brady. She's going to have Courtney Bailey, who's currently with Alliance Bernstein, who has 10 years experience recruiting professionals for financial services. So check that out. Get a Job with Kathleen Brady tomorrow night at 7:30. Ooh, here's a good one. Learning to Say No with Lee Ann Parsons. She is going to be joined with my associate and past coaching client, who is now a coach, Joel Reddins. They are going to talk about learning to say no. That is on Thursday at 9 a.m. I should listen to that. And then on Friday at noon, we have something called Seasons of Life, Seasons of Change. The end of summer brings the reality of less daylight and the back to the grind, back to school thinking that can derail even the most positive individual. Oh, what a timely, timely show. That's Friday at 12. If you can't catch those, then please catch the archives. So that's what's coming on Life Coach Radio Network. I'm going to go back to the studio. It looks like Sophia may be on the line, so I'm excited to say hello to her. Let me just get her on and introduce. I am joined today by our guest, Sophia Britton. She opened Victoria Garden in 2011 on Carmine Street in the Village. With a culinary degree, a love of travel, a desire to share healthy eating, and bring the taste of foreign lands to New York City in a different way. Hold on 1 second. Sophia.
Hi, Jeff. How are you?
Good. How are you? Welcome to the Fun to Fortune Success Series. I'm calling this Frozen Treat Tuesday.
Great. I'm so excited.
I don't know if you heard my little intro, if you were muted or not, but one of the things that we share is our love for frozen treats during the summer. And I read, talked to you about your love of soft serve, but a desire to sort of avoid the fake stuff, the processed, you know, trucks on New York City streets like Mr. Softy that draw me towards them. But then I say, no, no, I don't want to eat that stuff. So today we're going to talk to Sophia basically about her business. In fact, two businesses. I know that you have a cooking show as well, like you mentioned.
Yes.
And all the delights that have come from that business, and also all the challenges and obstacles. So we're here to inspire some other entrepreneurs, tell them a little bit about your story. Take questions. In fact, let me share the number. If anyone out there is listening live and would like to call in to ask a question, our call-in number is 646-716-9397. That's 646-716-9397. You can also find us. Let's see, you could tweet to us at Coach Host Radio on Twitter. And what else can you do? You could like us on Facebook, and you can go to blogtalkradio.com/Life Coach Radio Network to find this airing right now. Okay, so Sophia, tell us what your business is.
So I have a store called Victory Garden NYC, and we sell goat milk, soft serve, ice cream, and frozen yogurt. We source all of our goat milk locally, as well as a lot of our toppings and our other ingredients. And we also have a small lunch and a small lunch menu, which I can explain later. And I wanted to create a healthy alternative to soft serve because I know a lot of the soft serve shops in New York are really like based on a pre-made mix that people buy. We make all of our ice cream in-house. And
Sophia, why goat's milk?
I studied holistic nutrition, and I learned that goat milk was really healthy. Most people in the world actually drink goat milk. It is much more easily digested. It's the most similar milk to human milk. So after you're done, like after children are weaned, it would be probably the easiest milk for them to digest. I don't drink a ton of milk on a daily basis, but I switched my cooking milk to be goat milk, and I just had like a really strong affinity towards it. I also wanted to work with local farms. That was really important to me. And goat milk farms tend to be small, family-run operations. And Well, a lot of farms are, and I really wanted to, I wanted that to be an important part of my business as well.
Now, before, when I was introducing the two guests today, yourself and Fanny, I said that not only did you bring in your passion for food, but also the love of foreign flavor and culture and your values, the things that you care about. So could you talk about sort of how that all comes into your business and what your business is about?
Yeah, well, so we sell goat milk, soft serve ice cream. It's all sourced locally. I try to buy as many ingredients locally as possible. I find that to be really important to the brand, for health reasons and also for just the quality. I think that a lot of what's going on in New York State and the region and the United States in general, there's like a big surge in artisanal products. I also wanted the store to teach people or introduce new spices. I wanted it to be kind of like an escape, a place where you went and you learned something new and you felt like excited, excited about life, just because you found like something that tasted really good and you learned about a new spice or you tried something you've never had before. I wanted it to be like a little oasis.
Yeah, I love that. Well, I love the concept of going to a shop, you know, a frozen yogurt shop, and learning something new, you know, about, you know, what's beautiful is that I'm assuming that you're talking about you bringing real, like, exotic spices or exotic flavors from different parts of the country or different parts of the world, pardon me, for people to try and sort of like, oh, wow, this is different. This is interesting. This is not my normal mini Reese's peanut butter cup and ground up Heath bar.
even new things from the region too. Like there are a lot of fruits that people don't know about in the Northeast. So I try to bring those in as toppings, like husk cherries and things like that. We do flavors, like we do mastic. It's one of the flavors we're known for. It's a Greek resin from the island of Chios. It's a protected product of origin. Mastic.
Mastic.
Yeah, and actually the word masticate comes from mastic. It was the first chewing gum. It's been chewed for centuries, and it has a lot of health benefits.
Wow.
And it's actually like pretty, it's always been known in Turkey, but now it's kind of trendy again. So you see this flavor a lot in Greece and Turkey and also throughout the Middle East, but not so much in the United States. So I personally love the flavor and I love the scent of it. So we do plain mastic, we do white chocolate mastic, we do dark chocolate mastic, we do a lot of different flavors with mastic.
Wow, that sounds delicious. That's a new one for me to try and learn about. So when you come into your shop, not only will you be sensations on your tongue and flavors on your tongue, but you'll be learning like about all these new things. I love that. Let's move into the business side a little bit. This is Fun to Fortune. So tell us. In our audience, we have aspiring entrepreneurs, people who are just starting companies, people are thinking about starting companies. So in your business, where do you get the most joy and satisfaction? And I can see some of that already coming through in what you're talking about, but share something else.
I think in the relationships I've developed with the people I work with, from my suppliers to my customers, to fellow business owners that have helped me, to my employees. I think just building a lot of relationships, because I think with the type of work I do, it's, you know, I'm always interacting with different people. And I feel like I learn a lot of skills from watching other people, looking at other, like the way people behave and you know, feedback from customers. I think through all of the relationships that I've developed, for sure.
Great. What? Anything else? Is there any other fun stuff that you liked? Sounds like you like to taste things.
Yeah, I think I think developing new flavors is also new flavors and new, like some of the dishes that we do, and just getting feedback from customers. I think that's also like really exciting. I mean, it's the reason I started it, was to prepare food for people and ice cream for people, and then see how it made them react. And I think that's like the most rewarding part of it. I like love when I have a customer like run to the store before we close, and they arrive like out of breath, and they're like, "We just made it," and like that's like really exciting.
Yeah, it makes your day. It makes their day too. That's great. Excellent. And what has come from your efforts? So what's been your fortune in this? The fruits of your labor, so to speak. What is exciting? What's fortunate about having your own business?
I was thinking about that question, and I think that my fortune is realizing that my fortune is not financial. And I think that's a really important thing when you're starting a business. The business has to make money. That's why you start a business, and that's, you know, like that's the whole point. But it's not about chasing higher profits, like as an entrepreneur, for me at least. I found that if you think that way, you're always going to be striving for the next goal. And I think that my fortune has been learning to feel fulfilled and finding fulfillment in the daily rewards that you find, and just, you know, feeling happy with what I've created and trying to create more. I think that's been my fortune, because I could spend my whole life trying to chase money, but then it'll just be that, trying to make more money and more money and more money. But money comes and goes, and I think that my fortune has been realizing that, you know, the happiness that I get from my business is in the day-to-day. It's today, you know, like the things that are going to happen today that make me happy.
Yes. Yeah, that's a great point. It's important. One of the realities of owning a business and staying in the business is being profitable. So it is important, but if that's your focus, and not your intention, you know, if you put your intention towards that, then it's not very fun or exciting. You know, it ends up being it ends up being work again. And the idea behind my show and behind the work that I try to people is fun to fortune. It's like, do something passionate, the money will follow. You know, if you follow your dream, the money will follow. So that's great. And sounds like you've created amazing relationships throughout the journey as well.
Yeah, I think that's the most important part is building relationships.
Yeah, one of the things that I try to stress with clients and everyone is that who gets stopped up and are not sure of what to do next or where to move forward, is that if you have confidence in yourself and you have confidence in the relationship you've built and you are a resourceful person, you will adjust to every situation. You may not always get it right, and you may screw up and have to do it again, but if you believe in yourself that you can be resourceful and you can rely on these relationships that you built, then you can't fail in the long run. Yeah. Cool. I lost my next question. Where were we? In building your business, I help people build businesses through my coaching practice. There's mentors out there. There's all kinds of different resources. I myself have taken classes at NYU Stern and have, you know, interviewed other entrepreneurs. How did you find support in the beginning of your journey and then throughout your journey?
I reached out to as many people as I could who I knew had like the resources that I needed. The New York City there's a program called New York City Small Business Solutions, and they offer a lot of free classes for people who want to start a business in the city, and they work great. And they will assign you a person that, like, anytime I have any question about, like, what permit I might need, how much it might cost, like, protocol for certain things. They even have, like, they'll just get back to me immediately. Anytime I have a problem or, like, I need a template for a form, you know, instead of going to a lawyer to find it, like, they'll send you one. It still is, like, a really great help. I reached out to my family was very supportive. And friends, I reached out to friends that had businesses and alumni from the schools I attended, both high school and college. And I reached out to them about, you know, and some of these people I didn't even know personally, but I reached out and found people that had already gone through it and that could help me along the way. And they were extremely helpful.
Yeah, great resources. I also took I think it was New York City Small Business Solutions, the Fast Track program. New York City Business Solutions is an agreement with Kauffman. And Fast Track is a wonderful, I'm pretty sure it was free. What a great value, where it's like 10 weeks of different entrepreneurs coming in talking, and they have an amazing book with all the sort of things you should do before you start a business. Some I agree with and some don't. We talked last week with Francine Rabinovich of Denim Therapy, and her starting her business was intentionally without a business plan. And sometimes a business plan is good, and sometimes it's also used to convince you to not start a business in your mind, you know. So you have to weigh those things. As it's all about being measured and being realistic. So those are great. And also all the different support, talking to as many people as possible, talking to people who have come before you and gone before you and made mistakes and have different perspectives. Again, a best entrepreneur is the one who's flexible, open-minded, and stays away from rigidity. If that's a real word, I don't know, I think.
I totally agree. A lot of your business and how your business will shape happens, like in my case, after I opened or after you begin. There were a lot of things that I was worried about or questioning before I opened. And then once my customers came in, I saw who they were and what they wanted and, you know, the products they were asking for. And I had spent a lot of time thinking about other products and other problems and other issues that really never materialized.
Yeah, great. And you also brought up a great point, and you mentioned it before, is sometimes entrepreneurs pay so much more attention to what's behind the counter or behind the computer as opposed to who's in front. And so you mentioned having customers come in and give you feedback on new flavors. You mentioned talking to customers. That's your bread and butter. That's who's going to support you. So it's so important to be in front of your customers all the time and be open to feedback. You know, being, this is good, I don't like this, and really asking for feedback, because if you lose sight of your customers, as in many restaurants and many a shop who try all different things, and if they just talked to their customers, they would have had the answer. So that's great that you continue to do that. What about, let's sort of move to the other side. As a business owner and as a business creator, what are some of the challenges and obstacles you face that would be helpful in sharing to other people that, you know, they may have the same challenges and obstacles, and how did you get through them or over them, or what did you change in your schedule to make things better?
I think that I burned out a lot my first year. I was really worried about money, and I worked a lot in my store, and that took a lot of energy of my energy, and I had staff that wasn't capable of doing the work I needed them to do, and I kept hoping that they would grow into something or someone that they were not. And I think my advice would be, don't understaff yourself. Make sure that if you're planning a business that you put enough money into having, you know, people, proper management already in place. Not that it's going to run so smoothly, but staffing is it's a real headache, and you really need to make sure that you're not the only one who's doing everything. And for a long time, I was, and even now, like, I'm getting staff into place so that I'm not always, like, getting people, you know, if people call in sick or if they can't come, that I'm not, like, strapped. That's really important. And I was thinking of something else when you asked.
Well, before
that,
you, and speaking of burnout, I mean, one of the things when I was talking to Sophia is the importance of taking some time off. As entrepreneurs, we end up getting into this 24/7 mindset. Our phone's always on. We're always checking email. I had a client once who came to me to help her get away from that because the business, she loved her business, but it was driving her crazy. She couldn't put her phone down for a moment without feeling anxiety. So one of the things that Sophia mentioned is that she takes a day off and she disconnects her technology, she stays away, and it's so important to have that balance and take care of yourself. And if you want to add to that, Sophia.
Yeah, I think that it's important to not only disconnect, but to also create a life for yourself outside of your business. Like take classes that are not like business education related, or do exercises or group classes that like introduce you to new people that are doing other things. Like expose yourself to things that you really like or are passionate about as well that are different, because I was reading an article about this the other day about how entrepreneurs can sometimes feel like it was about like entrepreneurs committing suicide and things like that because they don't see anything else besides their business. And it's really important to build yourself and your character, not just as like a business owner and as entrepreneur.
And that kind of goes
back to the financial part. Like, don't measure yourself in terms of your financial success, because that's never a winning game.
I need to take some of your advice. I'm creating a new business right now, and I'm obsessed. And I need to read a book that's not like, you know, a business related book, or see a movie. It's like, but we get consumed because we love it. That's the thing. That's the balancing act between finding doing something you love.
Yeah.
And, because you love it, but then it takes over, and then all of a sudden it doesn't feel so good anymore. So important. I think it's one of the biggest lessons. And I think also for me, when I take those days off or those hours off, or I go for a run on the beach or I do a yoga class or something, like, that's when my best ideas come. You know, it's sort of like when I've cleared the field. So, this has been really amazing to speak to you. I would like to share with the listeners, how do they find you online, offline? Where do they come in for your delicious treats? If they don't live in New York, is there a way for them to get them? I know you may be expanding. So do a little marketing, share with our audience where they can find you and your product.
We currently only sell the product out of our store, which is located at 31 Carmine Street between Bleecker and Bedford in the West Village of Manhattan. We are going to start shipping, hopefully, within the next year. If you do email me, I will put you on my list of people who have emailed me requesting shipments of the ice cream. But right now, it's a soft serve model, so it's only available at our location. Actually, we also serve it at a store in the Upper West Side called Gastronomy 491, located on Columbus Avenue between 83rd and 84th. They have our salted caramel flavor, which is our most popular flavor. And we also have a website, victorygardennyc.com, where you can see our daily flavors and check out our blog, because I blog a lot about what I find at the farmer's market, what's going on at the shop. And we have a newsletter as well where I talk about all of those things.
Great. So lots of ways to connect with you and hear more about you. So continued success to you. Wish you all the best.
Thanks so much.
Thank you for being on our show today. If you hold on just a moment, because I want to see if I have a caller on the other line or if that is Fanny from La New Yorkina. Who's on the other line?
It's Fanny.
Okay, Fanny, hold on 1 second. So, Sophia, you're welcome to hang on the phone and listen in or listen in on your internet or listen to the archive. But thank you so much for sharing your story with us today.
Thank you so much for having me. It was a lot of fun.
You're welcome. See you soon.
All righty.
So, Fanny, hello and welcome to the series. Coach Jeff, today is Frozen Treat Tuesday, appropriately in the height of the summer, or almost end of summer, unfortunately. Hopefully we'll have a great September. So I already introduced a little bit about you sharing the sweetness of Mexico and a little bit about your story, but I'll tell you that one of the things I love about your company is the grassrootsness of it. I was at a cycling event, and they had some food, and they had a stand there featuring your popsicles. And I selfishly went back 3 times. I think I started with a pineapple jalapeno, and then I think I had a berry something, and then they were so delicious. And I was like, you know,
thank
of course,
you.
Immediately took a card and wanted to find out more about you and your story. And the other thing I love is your website tells a story, and it's really personal, and it's really connecting. And I think in business, a lot of businesses, you know, don't make a great connection. But when you go to your site, you really hear about you and what it's about. You see pictures of the kitchen. You see some of the struggles you've had. Some of the aspirations, and you're really putting it all out there. So I congratulate you on that. For
thank you.
You know, really, really connect. Not only creating deliciousness, but also connection. So let's talk about you and your company. What is your business?
So my business is called La New Yorkina, which means the girl from New York in Spanish, and I feel it sort of represents who I am. You know, my heart. And my background and my soul is Mexican, but I also feel like a New Yorker. I've been here for 14 years now. So it's sort of, it's a hybrid that represents who I am and where I come from. And I started in summer 2010, originally just making artisan Mexican style paletas, which are essentially ice pops. And since the very beginning, I knew I wanted to do more than that. I just wanted to start out with the popsicles, with the paletas, to see, you know, if people liked it, how they responded, and then, you know, see if I can continue towards my first goal, you know, which is to open a Mexican-style ice cream shop. So it's going to be an ice cream / candy shop.
Okay, cool. So now you're asking, wow, I can't believe how much people like it. How has it been so far? So you've introduced
It was crazy. I mean, the first day that I started was also the first day of the Hester Street Fair. So there was a lot of, you know, press and hype, you know, because it was the first sort of, you know, market of its kind in the city. And we ran out of, I had a friend, my friend Hannah helped me out that first summer. And we had, I think we had about 800 plus paletas, and we ran out by 3 o'clock. And,
wow.
You know, we had to do it the next day, but we had nothing left in the kitchen. And I actually broke my nose. I fractured my nose that morning loading the cart with the cover of the cart. So she had to go and be in the kitchen all by herself to try to do as much as she could while I waited in the emergency room for like 9 hours. And as people were coming, you know, my nose just kept getting, you know, more swollen, and, you know, it just looked like somebody had punched me, you know, because the eyes underneath kept getting puffy. But it was the adrenaline kept me going, and people were like, don't you need to go to the ER? I'm like, no, this is, you know, like my first day. So
what an opening day, right? One you will never forget.
Never.
Well, and you've also exhibited the point in business. You never know, you know,
you never know
what's going to come, you know, and you have to be ready and just adjust or, you know, because you're out there, right?
I'll
the public face.
So. Yeah, being a business owner is never boring. It can be many things, you know, stressful, you know, any kind of thing, but never boring. And if it is, then, you know.
So what is the fun part for you? We'll go to the stressful part later, but let's start with the fun part. So where do you get the most joy and satisfaction as a business owner and a business creator?
Well, the most joy that I get is because I'm in the food industry is really just very simple, but you make people happy. I do something that I love to do. I feel very creative, and I get to share part of my culture. So those are two also amazing elements. But at the end of the day is you create memories. How many memories don't you have that are linked to food? You know, like, oh, remember so-and-so's birthday. You know, you can transform somebody's moment or somebody's day. Somebody could be having, you know, a bad day and they try something and it just makes them forget about it for a little bit. Or even if they're having a good day, then it just makes them have an even better day. So, you know, just experiencing the joy that they have is an enormous satisfaction. That is absolutely the best part of my job.
Yeah, yeah. And what's beautiful is that, and I think you mentioned this on your website, is that how that joy and connection comes through sharing food and sharing a meal. And I think you said something that's very part of the culture where you're from. Did I get that?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, part of the culture in Mexico and most Latin countries is very warm. It's very inviting. It's very much about, you know, enjoying one another. And I wanted to, what I think, I don't think I sell a product. I think it's an experience, you know? So I think that's important because people are like, why don't you have this in supermarkets or, you know, things like that. And I'm not saying I won't have them, but you don't have that connection. You know, when a person comes, you get to talk about it. You get to, you know, share part of it. And I think that is very, very powerful in a way.
Yeah. Yes. And you hit on a good point for anyone who's in the food business or any other business is really creating an experience. So it's
exactly.
Much more than the product. The product is, you have to have a good product, it has to be delicious, or it has to be high quality, or it has to be, but then it's everything around it. It's the customer interaction, it's how it's packaged, it's what's behind the product, how it was made, you know, what conversation comes up when eating it, you know,
exactly.
all that kind of thing. And that sometimes is the most important. You could have the best product in the world, but if the experience is a crappy one, that's what the consumer is going to remember. And they'll look for something else. Good. So in this, let's see, you started in 2010, yeah? So this is a couple years ago. Did I get that right?
Yeah.
Okay. What has been your fortune? So what has come from your efforts? What are the fruits of your labor?
Well, I think that, you know, an increasingly growing business and increasing interest in it, you know, I think that people have been in more of a hurry for me to grow than I have been ready for.
Okay.
So I think those are good signs. I mean, we got a tremendous amount of response, you know, both in a personal level between customers and clients and friends and things like that, and also through the press. And I think that was, I never spent $1 on press, you know, so I think that people perceive the difference when, you know, it's exciting when you work very hard and people recognize it and they're excited. You feel like they're excited, not just for you, but with you. So
yeah.
So I think just a continuing, you know, interest and also the relationships that I created with, you know, I've seen a lot of kids that they were very young. Like one of the first summer that I started, there was a family that lived in the Lower East Side right by Hester Street Fair. And they had a daughter who was my youngest customer. She was 9 months old, and she used to love the avocado paletas. And now, you know, we're friends. We've become friends, and I've seen her grow up. Now she has a little brother. So, you know, those relationships have also been an incredible part of the growing part of the business for me in a personal level.
Mm. Yeah, that is so wonderful. And I hear that over and over from entrepreneurs, and I hear that, you know, I know that from my own businesses, just all the different relationships that have come up. And it's funny, when we start the business, you know, it's not something we're thinking about, you know, like, oh, what's one of the reasons I want to, you know, because I want to foster great, a really amazing relationships. But it's one of those side products. It's not even side things that happens naturally, and it's beautiful, and it's mostly one of the most rewarding things. So I can just imagine the photos and the joy that you must have had, you know, having your 9-month old customer enjoying no less an avocado pop, I think you said.
yes.
A vegetable. That is really wonderful. The other thing you mentioned, which is so exciting and such a driving force for us, is hearing people's excitement and demand and getting emails and phone calls. When are you opening here? When are you going to be here? When can I get these there? You know, it's sort of like, wow, it's very reassuring and gives you a lot of confidence that you're on the right track. You know?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And then, you know, it makes it all worth it.
Yeah, and one of the things that Sophia had mentioned earlier in challenges and obstacles is not growing so fast, is to really, you know, take things slow, slower than you may want, because sometimes you go too fast and you get ahead of yourself, and then you have to backtrack, and it's not fun. You know, you adjust and get through it, but it's one of those things that
I agree, which is why, you know, I have two friends that also started at the same time that I did with their own food businesses, the same summer, same market, and both of them already have their stores. And, you know, and it's for me to see, you know, sort of the different, you know, good and bad things. And I've just, you know, for me, it's also, I've had more time to be more clear about which direction I want to take, what I want the shop to be like. So I feel like when I open, I'm gonna really open. You know what I mean? The expectations are much higher, even from within myself. So but it's exciting. It's exciting. So I also agree with Sophia about, you know, not just because you have the opportunity to open a shop or to grow fast doesn't mean that that you have to do it. I think it's better, you know, to take the what's that children's fable? Not the fable, but the tale of the hare and the turtle.
Yes, I hear you.
You know, I take the turtle approach.
I got you. Good. It's easy to get swept up. So also, let's move into where you got support. So in opening a business, some people go to professional coaches like myself, some have mentors, some go to New York City Business Solutions, some go to friends and family. What did you rely on, and who do you rely on for support on before you started and on an ongoing basis?
First started, I got support from my family and some savings and credit cards. You know, and I started also in the very beginning, it was a very small investment, you know, because it was, let's just get a few molds and let's, you know, rent this kitchen. But it wasn't really, you know, it was more, let's try to spend as least amount of money to test this idea out. You know, then the following year, I applied at the Highline Park and we got accepted. And so that involved a lot more capital that I needed, you know, from a cart to machines to, you know, everything. And that's when, you know, I reached out to friends and family. And then, you know, and then the credit cards came in because I can't continue relying on that. And everybody's like, oh, my God, you get so much traffic and you sell so much. And everybody's like, but they, people don't realize all the stuff, all the costs that go into it. And everything, all the money that you have in sales has to be put back into the business. You know, I'm the last person that I get, that I don't really pay myself unless I can afford to. You know,
right.
So I mean, I think a lot of business people say that you have to do the business paying yourself first, and then, you know, as a good business practice. But in reality, that's not achievable when you're beginning. So
understood. And what about some of the challenges and obstacles? You alluded to some that have come your way. And, you know, how did you overcome them and, you know, get back on your feet and, you know, or...
Well, the biggest challenge was the hurricane for me, because I lost pretty much my entire kitchen. I was able to save maybe 10% of what I owned, and I had already put up a lot of money. And not only money, we had prepared all of these candies to sell at the Columbus Circle Market, and all of the work that went into it, all of those ingredients that went into it, all of that was lost as well. And so I lost an incredible amount of, you know, time, money, work, everything. And it was a very lonely process in the beginning. I have to say, you know, because it's a single-owned business, and not that I didn't have friends or family or people that were, you know, wanting to reach out, but it was just, it felt like everything I had worked for had just vanished, you know, and it was heartbreaking, and it was paralyzing. And in the beginning, it didn't really hit me, actually. In the beginning, I had some friends who were helping me clean up, and they were saying, you seem so calm. And I said, well, you know, I know, I'm trying to keep perspective. I know there's people that lost their entire homes or that I feel are worse off than I am, you know, trying to sort of in a way minimize what had happened to me. And one day I was talking on the phone with my dad, and I was just, you know, telling him how I found the kitchen, and all of a sudden it just hit me. It just hit me, and I was a mess. I couldn't stop crying for hours and hours because it just, you know, I was trying to sort of put aside, and I wanted to have dinner with some friends, and one of my friends suggested I do a Kickstarter campaign, and I said, well, there's many people doing that, and I, you know, and it was close to the holidays, so, you know, I ended up not being able to do it until after the holidays, and I had, it was that moment where I felt, if I wanted to say I'm closing my business and I'm not moving forward, this would be the time, you know, this would be, I would be justified, you know, if I wanted, I only allowed myself to think that for 5 seconds, but I allowed myself.
It sounds like it went the other direction. It was maybe a motivator for
you.
Yeah,
exactly. Well, so to me, I was like, no, this is actually, I'm going to come back, and I'm going to come back with a vengeance. You know, it's
good.
Like, I am going
to
come back stronger. and I did the Kickstarter campaign, and it was incredible. I was just, the loneliness that I felt was very soon occupied with the opposite feeling of just people, you know, sort of rallying up. And it wasn't just, you know, friends and family that donated. It was customers or readers, because I have two cookbooks that I published, you know, people that wrote to me, and, you know, that's for one reason or another. It didn't matter. Some people, you know, it was a collection of a lot of small donations, and it was amazing. It surpassed my...
Oh, Fanny, we only have 30 seconds left. I can't believe we're out of time already. I'm so sorry. But where do people find you? So tell us where they find
you,
your website. You
can find us at the Highline Park between 17th and 18th Street on 10th Avenue in Manhattan. And that's from May to October. And also hopefully opening up a store next year. So you can just check the website for updated information, and we'll be able to ship also within the next year as well.
And your website?
And
your
website is www.laniorquina.com.
Thank you so much for sharing your story today with us.
Thank you so much for having
sorry
me.
Sorry we are out
you.
Of time.
No problem, it happens.
Okay, have a great week.
Thank you, you
Thank
too.
You, listeners. Thank you, listeners. Every other week we'll have a guest entrepreneur who has created a fun business. Together we'll inspire, inform, educate, and blaze a trail. So thank you, and have a wonderful rest of summer. Good afternoon.